Our presentation today is Finding Balance in the New Year. I won't make you be on a balancing board, though, like the mice. And our presenter is our current minister, Reverend Matt Aspen.
Good morning, everyone, and Happy New Year to you all, if I haven't seen you already. Last month, I went through my normal process of trying to decide what to talk to you about during my time in front of you the following month, which in this case is today and January 22nd. And when I say my normal process, I mean the reminder came up 6 weeks ago to do this, and then I thought about it and thought about it and struggled with it and thought about it all the way up until the administrator said, "I need to know what your topic is." Now, I recognize that that level of intentional pre-planning is helpful, especially for the music folks. Thank you. So that they consider what music would best complement the chosen sentiment of the talk, and then also allow maybe some time for actual practicing. But I often struggle with this step. I can see so many options, all of which seem vital. And if I think about each person in this room, everybody is struggling with something different. And they just begin to become white noise and nothing kind of jumps out. And I say, well, I should, maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. If everything seems important, eventually nothing seems important. I kept saying to my partner, I don't know what to preach about. I don't really have anything to say right now. Which I know for a fact is never true. I always have something to say. Anyway, new year, new beginnings. This is a time of transition, typically, closing out our past, reminiscing about the year that just passed us by, looking ahead, imagining what new dreams may emerge in the coming year. Looking forward with a clean slate. New Year's resolutions, committing once again to implement those new habits. What is the right thing to talk about now in this moment of the year? And then the week before, with the final deadline looming, something finally began to emerge for me. I started flipping through a book about the Enneagram, and I find this rather matter-of-fact quote that my thoughts began coalescing around. It is generally and universally accepted by the world's philosophies and religions that human beings are born with three native intelligences: thinking, feeling, and doing. Do I believe this? Do the members of my community believe this? What do I know about this? Perhaps this is worthy of additional exploration. And then I read the next sentence. Learning to use each one for its intended purpose can result in a more balanced approach to life. And there it was, of course. The beginning of a new year, the beginning of any journey, is a good time to remember to come back to ourselves. Knowing ourselves is a constant journey. Reconnecting with ourselves is always the best place to begin. And yet, still, it feels like there is so much unfinished business yet to attend to. The current news cycle has us remembering the events of January 6th, 2 years ago. It's been 2 years since our democracy faced one of its greater tests, and we are still just beginning to unravel all that led up to this event and the implications for all of us going forward. And COVID continues to weigh us down. We still haven't come close to processing the trauma that continues to impact us all in a myriad of unexplored ways, having just collectively worked our way through a global pandemic. And then much closer to home, as the month wore on, a wave of personal losses of our beloveds began to wash over this community. And given that, I knew it's not time for a rousing imagining of what our future might hold, because we are still now in the middle of processing all of these losses. To that end, last week, during the New Year's Day service, I've heard that this community held each other, and held each other really well. I wish I had been there because the report sounded beautiful. And I want to honor all of those losses today. But as we've already begun to learn, there is time specifically set aside for these remembrances. And I do want to start the year looking forward. A new year is by default a time of transition. I figure as a UU minister that all I do should be focused on supporting and strengthening this already vibrant and self-sustaining community. So as I said, one thing I'm revisiting and trying to begin deepening my integration of in the coming year towards this end of finding balance is the Enneagram. If you're not familiar with this model, the Enneagram is a study of 9 basic types of people, which attempts to explain why we behave the way we do, and also point us towards specific directions for potential personal growth. Its roots appear to go back many centuries, perhaps to oral traditions of Sufi mystics in the Middle East. It was introduced first in Europe in the 1920s by Russian mystic G.I. Gurdjieff, and it arrived in the United States in the 1960s. The Enneagram teaches that in early life, we learn to feel safe and to cope within our family situations and personal circumstances by developing a specific strategy based on our natural talents and abilities and how the expression of those natural talents and abilities was received into our family of raising. And as you begin to study this model, it makes a lot of intuitive sense. If we're naturally outgoing, that tendency then bumps into a family dynamic that unconsciously teaches us either to enhance that tendency or to suppress it. And it is this imprinting that we then bring with us out into the world. And of course, the lessons that we learn as children really go into our subconscious and become part of our kind of operating process. And as with just about any strategy we might employ to try to navigate the world, over-reliance on any specific tactic can become limiting. I believe the motivation to work with the Enneagram is to develop a deeper understanding of others and to learn alternatives to our own ingrained patterns of behavior. Ennea comes from the Greek word for the number 9, and gram means drawing. So the Enneagram is a drawing with 9 points. Each of these 9 types is connected to other points in the circle, called arrows. And when relaxed, the theory posits we tend to take on the positive qualities of one of the other types, and when we're stressed, we tend to take on the negative qualities of a different type. Now, if you're interested in learning more, there is a great book by Rene Baron and Elizabeth Weigel titled The Enneagram Made Easy, which offers a good introduction to the concept and the 9 types. But the book that drew me towards deeper exploration and towards this morning's talk was The Journey Towards Wholeness by Susan Stabile. The subtitle of this book is Enneagram Wisdom for Stress, Balance, and Transformation. Yes, that's what I was looking for, some wisdom to help us relieve a bit of stress with a promise of balance and transformation as we head off into our journeys in this new year. As with most things, there are detractors of this model. Some psychologists label it as pseudoscience. But I don't think the value here is in clinical work. I found that the Enneagram is quite popular with a good many UU ministers, and in other professions, we're developing a basic framework to try to understand human behavior in systems is helpful. Stabile plays in my favorite space with most of the models of this sort, not just in the specific nuances of each type, but in the framework itself. She looks at the commonalities that we have across types and using links between types to divide the model into three triads, a head triad, a heart triad, and a gut triad. And using those three segments, we can now begin to more easily use this model to think about balance. The idea here is that each of these intelligences are simply three different ways of meeting the world. Based on the model, one of these three qualities, which the Enneagram labels as centers of intelligence, one is dominant, one supports the dominant, and one is repressed. Which triad your type is in, head, heart, or gut, is determined by your first response when you encounter information or situations. You either go to feeling, or you go to thinking, or you go to doing. Consider yourself for a moment in this moment. When faced with what may be new information, how are you responding? What are you noticing? Are you going right to thinking? Trying to analyze what's missing or wrong or start to poke holes? Or perhaps to feeling? Are you sitting there feeling a certain way? Curious? Uncomfortable? Perhaps you're sitting there wondering when I'm going to share something specific that you can put into action because you want to get into doing. This sounds like a good idea. I want to do it. This first response is an intuitive, automatic move. The goal of the work, Stabile suggests, is not to try to change this response, but rather to better understand how it affects what you then do next. She says, and I think I agree, that this is important because our response to stimuli are how we make sense of things. And how we make sense of things determines our worldview. And our worldview determines the choices we make. And our choices have the power to help us shape the world around us. Stabile suggests that the key to wholeness and balance is learning to access and bring up our repressed centers. Those things that we learned, that we internalized as children, to quiet down, or to put a lid over, or to just do something different. My spiritual director is an Enneagram practitioner, and this is the work that she has me doing all the time. My intention here today is not to make everyone in this room experts at this concept known as the Enneagram by the end of our time together. My intention instead today is purely invitational. We are entering a new year. This is a great time to pause and evaluate how things are going for us, and to consider if there's anything we want to work on during our next collective journey around the sun. I know several in this room have begun showing up for the Friday night meditation sessions that Katrina has initiated. Meditation practice can be a great way to help us strengthen our awareness of our habitual patterns, and the Enneagram provides one option for guidance regarding where to go from there once we begin to better notice ourselves more clearly moment to moment. If you are struggling with loss, and I think everybody in this room that has been here for a while in one way or another is struggling with loss because these are our friends, these are the people that we have journeyed with. If you are struggling with loss, notice how you are reacting. Are you withdrawing? Are you moving towards thinking to avoid feelings? Or are you trying to keep yourself busy with action? all of these are good approaches. And yet, all things in balance. Another place where we can seek more balance is in our Sunday programming. I eagerly read the report shared by our Committee on Ministry and reviewed the feedback that they received regarding your shared hopes for future Sundays. I think this is kind of interesting. Some of you would like to see more programs involving art, music, dance, movement. Some would like us to see focus more on wonder and joy. Some note about the natural world. Others say, I want more science, I want more information about climate change, I want to know about emerging technologies and discoveries. Some want to hear about more about the front lines of activism. Some people just want to sit in silence. Imagine that, a room full of you seeking a smorgasbord of different directions. It's no wonder I struggled to decide what to talk to you about on a Sunday morning. But this long list of shared desires from our community once again reinforces my point. Look what's on the list. Science and wonder. Technology and embodied movement. Our community is made up of individuals, each with our own unique preferences. One of the benefits of our coming together is to have the opportunity to spend time in our less preferred spaces. This, again, is a path to balance. And it's counter to our society's drive to push us into ever-increasing, homogeneous groups where all the folks that we are interacting with see things exactly the same way we do. In all of nature, diversity is the key to survival for both species and communities. It is the diversity of views in this room, not the sameness, that has the potential to make us collectively stronger. And of course, as we know, differences can also be the most challenging part to overcome. Which makes it no surprise that I have chosen the profession of ministry, as my Enneagram type is labeled the peacemaker. You can tell by this label what role I played in the family that raised me. And as with most things, there is benefit to trying to bring peace into a system. But there is also the risk of losing oneself and of diminishing one's own voice. All things in balance. Balance is not a destination, it's a journey. What gifts do you have to share with this world? Working together in community gives us the opportunity to have space, safe spaces where we can practice becoming fully formed humans. No matter what challenges we may need to face together, we will be better positioned to handle them if we are balanced within ourselves. During today's discussion, I'd be eager to hear, what are you doing this year to try to welcome more balance into your life? If you live in your head, as many of you are pulled to do, how might you consider increasing your capacity to notice the messages your body is trying to offer for your benefit? And if you often find yourself, as I do, paralyzed with an overabundance of possibilities that all feel kind of right, how might you practice welcoming a bit more analysis into your process to help move more quickly towards closure on decisions? This is a thing. If you see me getting better at this at the end of the year, you'll know I've been doing my work. We each possess all that we need to move towards a more balanced stance in life. How can we, in this coming year, both individually and collectively as a community, find our centers? This is the work that I encourage you all to consider this week. Whether it's through meditation or via the Enneagram, through a new movement practice, whatever it is, as you consider your focus for this coming year, keep checking in with yourself and determine if you are actually feeling balanced. And if the answer is no, remember that this community is the place to come practice new things, to strengthen ourselves, to find our centers. The winds of change will continue to test us, of this I am sure. Let's work collectively, together, to help each other find the balance we need to weather the coming storms. Blessed be, and may it be so.
So our closing words today will be read by Reverend Matt.
As we part now from one another, by Eileen Karpalis. As we part now from one another, let these be our thoughts. If that which is most holy lies within the human person, and if the greatest power in the world shines flickering and uncertain from each individual heart, then it is easy to see the value of human associations dedicated to nurturing that light, the couple, the family, the religious community. For the power of good in any one of us must at times waver. But when a group together is dedicated to nurturing the power of good, it is rare for the light to grow dim in all individuals at the same moment. So we borrow courage and wisdom from one another to warm us and keep us until we're together again.